Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here for the ride on this Tuesday, March the 19th, 2024, 12 minutes past the hour, 28 degrees and mostly sunny skies here in the Marion area. And you might detect that I say this date even with a little disdain in my voice here this morning. And I'm going to tell you why. Because today is allegedly the first day of spring, as it were. Now, here's why I have a problem with this being the first day of spring. Now, number one, and I understand it's a technical thing, but I think the first day of spring should be the 21st. So I'm going to hold off until Thursday to say it's the first day of spring. Number two, it's 28 degrees right now. And today, on the whole, is not going to be a very warm day. Yesterday was not a very warm day. So I don't like the idea of spring coming in like a lion. I think we would say this is like a lion because it's cold. So you know what? You can say today's the first day of spring, and I guess the calendars say it's the first day of spring. But I'm going to hold off till Thursday. The temperatures will be about 10 degrees warmer on Thursday. And then we'll say it's the first day of spring, which throws off my whole thing. Because remember, the way we predict the groundhog, which I just learned this year, way back on February the 2nd, the way we predict whether or not we have an early spring or six more weeks of winter is from February 3rd until March the 20th, although that's all thrown off now because apparently spring comes on March 19th. That those period of days, if you have temperatures where the highs are above 40, more often than not, then that means an early spring. If you have temperatures more often than not that are below 40 in that period, February 3rd through March the 20th, that meant you had six more weeks of winter. I really don't know which we had because I did not count the days. But I bet it's pretty close because the last 2 days certainly have been below 40 degrees. And there were a lot of days in there that were below 40 degrees, but there were also a lot of days in there that were above 40 degrees. I mean, we did have a couple days that were 70 degrees. So I don't know. Apparently, it has nothing to do with snow. It has nothing to do with ice. It has nothing to do with frigid temperatures. It all has to do with that 40 degree mark. Now, who came up with that? And on the whole, the groundhog thing is not scientific in any way to begin with. So I really don't understand this whole thing. I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts? We'll kick the morning off with that. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. It's just a whole weird thing. Oh, and today is primary day here in Ohio, so it is an election day. Now, locally, we do have some primaries, so if you're thinking about not voting, there are some things to vote for. Let's see here. What's going on primary-wise? I pulled this up this morning. City Councilman Jason Schauber is running against Kevin Davidson and Kerr Murray for one of the county commissioner seats. Now, this is just the primary, but it's kind of an interesting primary, to be honest with you, because Jason Schauber's a city councilman, and we certainly hear a lot from Jason, so he's pretty well known in the community. And then you've got Kevin Davidson. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Kevin Davidson. And then you've got Kerr Murray, who is the sitting county commissioner. Now, a three-way race can cause a lot of problems because if two tend to be more like each other, a lot of times you'll split the vote and the third person will slip in there. And when we talked to Jason about running for this particular seat, he had said since the last time he ran for county commissioner, which I think was 2 years ago, that he had a better understanding of how to run for county commissioner. Plus, I have to admit, I have seen more advertisements for Jason this primary season than I have seen for anybody else. I've seen some signs for Davidson. I've seen a few signs for Murray. But I've seen billboards for Schauber. I've seen signs for Schauber. So I don't know. I don't know how that one's all going to turn out. I guess we'll find out later on tonight. We also have, what other primaries do we have here in Marion County today? Oh, we do have a primary for the other commissioner seat. Longtime county commissioner Andy Appafeller is running against Timothy Mooney. That's a Republican primary for a county commissioner seat here in Marion. I don't know how that'll turn out. Appafeller's been on there in there a long time. Matter of fact, now I will probably get this wrong and somebody will have to tell me, but I think Appafeller is the longest continuing serving politician in Marion County at this point. I don't think anybody's been in as long as Appafeller has at this point. I'm not sure when he took office, but I'm sure it's probably more than 20 years ago or pretty close to it. So I don't know that anybody has served as long as Appafeller has. But we'll see what happens. He's got a challenger today in the Republican primary in Timothy Mooney. Let's see here. Really, other than that, I don't see... Oh, there's a Democratic primary for treasurer in Marion County. We've got Linda Davis and Karen Spencer. So we'll see how that goes. That's Mary Ellen's old job. We'll see how that all shakes out today. Other than that, I think that's pretty well about it for the big primary. Now, you know what's interesting about this? Most of these primaries do not have challengers on the other side. Now, the treasurer's race does. Whoever wins today between Karen Spencer and Linda Davis will face Brandy Gandert in the fall for treasurer of Marion County. But the commissioner races, I don't see any Democrats running for those positions. So whoever wins the primary today, really, at this point, it doesn't look like they have to run in the fall. Although, there could be independent candidates, because independent candidates did not have to file until yesterday. So hopefully, before the program's over this morning, I'll be able to tell you if any independent candidates filed for any of these offices. So we'll see what happens. We'll bring you up to date on that as it happens. All right. Again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind on this primary day, 2024. You know, it seems as if the primaries are even a little more... sharp-elbowed now than even the main elections. Well, we're getting a message here from our friend Barbara in Pennsylvania. Apparently, it's 33 degrees in Pennsylvania and feels like 26, and it's 28 here in Marion. I don't know what it feels like here, but it is cold. I can tell you that. All right. Well, that's the election rundown. If we learn who the independent candidates are before the program's over with, we'll get back to you on that. But that's where that is at this particular point. And of course, in Ohio, we've got the primary here to see who's going to face Jim Jordan. That's Tammy Wilson versus Mr. Thomas, who was on the program last week. We'll see how that all shakes out. And then we have the big one, the Senate race, up in, to see who's going to face Sherrod Brown. We've got Dolan, who is supported by DeWine. We've got Moreno, who's supported by Trump. We've got Secretary of State Husted. I don't know who's going to win that Senate race, but I'll tell you, it's an ugly, ugly race. We've got the state rep race here Marion, that got quite ugly as well. Between Tracy Richardson and Weslyn Davis, that should be very interesting. But again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. And that's your political rundown of what's going on today. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, Scott. I'm not getting you on my pad. I thought maybe you was having a little trouble.
No, I think we're on this morning. They're hearing us in Pennsylvania this morning.
You're up in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, they heard us in Pennsylvania. I just got a message from our listener there, Barbara.
Okay. Well, I'll keep pushing the buttons. Every indication, like I always have, is comes on, but then it pops off and then goes on, and I've done all the other stuff. I'll keep up trying here, thank you.
Yep, okay, thanks. Yep, we are up and running this morning as far as I know. Let us know if we're up and running. Maybe our friend Ted there is just having a little bit of technical difficulty. Heaven knows we've had technical difficulty here at the station from time to time. So that's not something that's unheard of, as they say. But again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz, and we can discuss whatever is on your mind. But that's the political roundup for what's going on today here in Marion as far as the primary goes. Now, I'll tell you, this Senate primary got very, very, very nasty. And I'll tell you, it's going to tell a tale because you have President Trump backing Bernie Moreno. And Trump came in on, what was it, Saturday, Sunday, this past weekend to back him. You've got DeWine, who's backing Dolan, who before that, I think, was in the lead. I don't know if a new poll's been taken or not. And you've got our Secretary of State, John Husted, who prior to this election was probably the most well-known candidate. So I don't know who's going to win this race tonight. That'll get the most play. But I would think that if Trump wins, or if Moreno wins, that would be very good, a good sign for Trump. I would think if Dolan wins, that's not a good sign for Trump, considering DeWine has supported him. And if Husted wins, I guess endorsements don't matter at all, because nobody's endorsed Husted, at least on a big variety, a big endorsement here in Ohio. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Has anybody heard how that's going to go here, that big Senate primary that we're going to have today, all out to get Sherrod Brown in the fall? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, I'm going to say, like I said yesterday, we have not heard from our friend Sarah in quite a while. I hope she's doing well. I saw Sarah's daughter this morning as I went through the line at McDonald's. I hadn't seen her there for a while. So I thought, well, maybe the family's on vacation. Maybe they took a little spring break vacation. So I hope they're out there and doing well, as it were. Okay. Well, yesterday, I was telling the story about my tire. Now, I told the story about my tire on Friday night as well. Now, I'm going to delve into this again a little bit, because yesterday I was running out of time when I was telling this story, and I really did not get to tell the full story of the whole tire situation. Now, here's what happened. I was coming into the station on Friday morning, and as I was going down the boulevard, my tire light came on. So I pulled into the station, and I looked at my tire, and it was kind of low, but not really low. So I went inside, and I thought, I'll get to it when I leave today. So I did my work at the station from 8 a.m. till 1 on Friday. And when I came out at 1, I saw that the tire was more or less flat. I mean, it was pretty close to flat. It wasn't flat, but it was as close as you're going to get without being flat. So there's a gas station close by where you can get air. So I drove. Matt was with me, and I said, Matt, can you follow me over to the gas station? Sure, no problem. So we go over to the gas station, and I get air in the tire. And the tire goes back up, so I think, well, maybe there's no hole in it. Maybe there's just some other issue with it. So the tire goes back up, the light goes off, all is well. But I said to Matt, I said, you know, my spare tire doesn't have any air in it either. And I don't think it's ever had air in it since I've had this spare tire, since I've had this car. And I'm not really sure why the spare tire won't take air. So he says, let me look at it. So we're at the gas station there, and he pulls the spare tire out. And he notices that the tire is off the rim. So he decides he's going to try to get the tire back on the rim. So he puts a crowbar in to try to pop the tire back on the rim. Well, this did not go so well. Because as he's pulling the tire to put it back on the rim, the crowbar slipped and hit him right between the eyes. Now, thank goodness, I don't think it hit him. I don't know. I really can't speak to this, but he had glasses on, and the glasses went flying, and they were laying on the concrete ground, and I felt terrible. So Matt picks up his glasses, and he's looking for the earpiece, because one of the earpieces is missing. Well, the earpiece was still on his ear. So it broke the earpiece off his glasses as he hit it with the crowbar. So I just felt terrible. And of course we did not fix the tire. But this is why cars, it's just one of those things. I almost think, and I've said this before, people who are interested in cars have tunnel vision in life. And I think that's all they pay attention to. Now, by the way, Matt offered to do this. I did not force him into this. And also Matt knows a lot about cars. He took car classes, I believe, at Tri-Rivers. So it was just one of those things, unfortunately. I think you're not supposed to pull towards yourself. And I think you're not supposed to cut towards yourself. So that's what happened. But my story was not finished. Now I put the flat spare back in the trunk, and I've got a tire that's a little bit iffy at this particular point. So now I think I'm going to go to the bank. So I drive over to the bank, and as I'm sitting in the bank drive-thru, the light comes on again. The tire light comes on again. And I think, oh man, here we go again. So I thought, I need to get to a place to get a tire. So I pull out of the bank, I drive to a place to get a tire, and just as I'm driving to the place to get a tire, I get out of the car, and the tire is completely flat again. It's not holding air at all. So the guy says, well, let me make sure we have your tire size. And I thought, boy, I hope you have my tire size, because there's not much chance of me leaving this spot if you don't have my tire size. At this particular point. So, turns out they did not have my tire size, but they pointed out where I could go and get a tire. Okay. So, then he says, well, I'll put your spare on. Well, this is a problem. Because, as I've said before, my spare is flat. So, I told the guy my spare was flat. He pops the spare out of the trunk. He puts it on the air machine. And he pops the tire back on the rim, and he puts air in it, and then he puts the spare on. So the spare is now fixed. So that's a plus. In all this kerfluffle, now I've got a plus. My spare is now back where it needs to be. Okay. So the spare's on the car. He throws the tire that's not keeping air in the trunk, and he sends me off to the next spot. I go over to the next spot. They do have the tire I need. They take the spare off. They put the tire on. They put the spare back in the trunk. And all is well. So the end of this story is actually pretty well. I've got a new tire on the car. It's the only bad tire I had. I had them look at them all. It was the only bad tire I had. Now that's fixed. The old tire's gone. That wasn't very good. And now I have air in my spare, which I don't think I've ever had air in my spare since the car was purchased a few years ago. So this is where we are. So I feel pretty good about the whole situation now, except for the fact that Matt broke his glasses. That I don't feel very good about. But, you know, as they say, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. It was just one of those things. I don't think anybody did it on purpose, but that's showbiz. So that's my story. Has anybody ever had a situation like this? And do you think this could have been avoided? I really don't think there was any way to avoid this particular situation. Does anybody feel that there's a way I could have avoided this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you feel there's any way that I could have gotten around this whole tire situation? You know, and I love to tell this story because I believe that it's apoplectic of a bigger problem, in that when you get, when you have an unsuspected problem, like your tire light comes on as you're going to work in the morning, it takes a village to get everything back up and running. But it can turn out good. I think that's the point. It can turn out good. Now, I don't know if it turned out good for Matt because he broke his glasses, but it turned out good for me in that I got a new tire, and also my spare tire is now working again. So on the whole, I think it ended up turning out okay. There you are. There's my tire story. So much maintenance with a car never ends. Okay, what else to talk about here? Well, let's talk a little bit about the eclipse. You know, the eclipse is coming up on April the 8th. And as of yesterday, I'm pretty sure that we here at the station are going to be doing something with the eclipse. Now, I should know more about this by the end of the week, but it looks like we're doing something for the eclipse that might be fun, maybe something you'll want to come out and do. I don't know yet. I should have a better grasp on it by Friday, I would say. But the eclipse is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. But are all these people going to come on are all these people going to come in Marion? Are they really all going to show up for this eclipse? I mean, we're getting close. Some people say there's no chance of it. Some people say it's bound to happen. I really don't know. I don't know. Do you think this eclipse is going to happen? Well, the eclipse is going to happen. I guess I shouldn't say that. Do you think all these people are going to pile into Marion? Because, you know, I see all this literature that's in the newspaper and everywhere else where people are saying it's going to be, you know, basically troubled. It's going to be difficult to even get up the road. Whatever road you live on, it's going to be difficult that day. I don't know. Do you think the eclipse is going to be a real thing or not a real thing as far as the traffic that it's supposed to draw to Marion? I was looking at that map yesterday of the totality area for the eclipse, which is a very small area. But Cleveland is in that area, and Cleveland's a big city. I don't know. Maybe people will go to Cleveland. I don't know how that's all going to work. I still don't know, but it looks like we're going to have an eclipse event, the station, and I'll tell you where that's going to be and what we're going to do and the fun we're going to have. We actually have, I think, a very unique idea in place, but I won't know about that idea until tomorrow night. So Thursday morning, hopefully I'll be able to fill you in on the whole eclipse idea as time goes on. But does anybody have any thoughts on the eclipse? Do you think this thing's really coming and it's going to be bigger than anything that's there's ever been? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, I still have the feeling that this is an event just bound for disappointment. Because if it's overcast that day, you're really not going to see anything. And everybody's bought these glasses. Everybody's ready to look into the sky. We're all ready for this April the 8th. And I don't know that really, I don't know. If it, honestly, if the sky is cloudy that day, we're going to have problems. So this is where we are with the eclipse. You know, it's one of those events. I bet you, I will bet you anything, that people go away that weekend to try to have little special events. Oh, I got to be with the person I love, or I got to be with my kids for the big eclipse because it's once in a lifetime and blah, 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 blah. You know, people, you know, it's like Valentine's Day. People will be proposing to each other because it's once in a lifetime. People will be proposing to each other, but the divorce won't be once in a lifetime. People do that multiple times. See, I got to get my shots in all the time. But I don't know. You know, it just seems... Are people really this interested in science? I mean, I don't know. Is it just because people are saying once in a lifetime? Is that really what this is all about? I get the feeling that this is a big thing because people are saying once in a lifetime. I think if you said once in a lifetime about anything, people would get excited. You know, this hot dog stand is going to be selling these hot dogs this Thursday, but that's once in a lifetime. It's never going to happen again. For some reason, once in a lifetime gets people all excited. And they do things maybe heretofore they would not do. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Calling about something far more important than the eclipse.
Oh, well, that could be just about anything at this point.
That's right. The groundhog.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, it's awful cold today.
It is cold.
Cold tomorrow. And so I think spring is late, which means the groundhog was right.
So our groundhog was right.
I believe so.
So going against Puxatony Phil and Buckeye Chuck, who I believe both predicted an early spring, our groundhog went against the grain and said six more weeks of winter, but it looks as if, now we were right.
Well, that's right. I mean, being this cold, you can't say it's an early spring. Therefore, it must be a long winter.
Well, you know, I told you the reasoning I got behind it is if between February 3rd and March the 20th, if you have more days above 40 degrees than not, then that's an early spring. But I don't think we did have more days above 40 degrees.
Well, I don't have the statistics, but I don't think that's the right measuring stick.
I think that might be a bad one, too.
Early spring, I think, would mean that spring is here and it's constantly warm. You know, when it's up and down and, you know, and we're going through these cold days still here into the season of spring, that it can't be an early spring.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I believe that when the first day of spring, which allegedly is today, is 29 degrees below freezing in the morning and it's barely going to get above 30 degrees today, I think you have to say that we had six more weeks of winter.
I don't think there's any way around it.
I think that's the way it goes, but what do you make? Are you excited about primary day today?
I'm excited about tomorrow when all the commercials will end.
You know, boy, I'll tell you, the money for this primary, I have gotten, I don't know how many robocalls this past weekend. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know something here's something I don't understand. I got a phone call that the other day that the caller ID said, must stop Nikki. Now, is Nikki even in this anymore?
Well, I think she's still on the ballot, but apparently somebody is a little bit behind the times as far as stopping her.
I mean, haven't the voters already stopped Nikki?
Yeah. They have, but there again, I mean, if Trump stops himself, then Nikki, I guess, is ready to stand in this place.
Well, I got a phone call, I believe it was Saturday, from Donald Trump himself. Have you gotten the Donald Trump phone call?
I've never gotten one from him, no.
Oh, yeah, he called on Saturday, and I think it was more for Bernie Moreno. That seems to be the big deal in Ohio, this particular go-around.
Yeah, I think he's doing anything he can to elect his lackey there.
Well, how do you think that's going? Because you got, you know, you got. I think this is going to tell a tale for the fall, because you've got Trump heavily backing Moreno. I mean, he was just in Ohio this past weekend. You've got DeWine backing Dolan. You've got nobody backing the Secretary of State Husted. One of them's going to win. It seems like a pretty tight race on all ends. I would think if Moreno wins, that's going to bode well for Trump in the fall. But if he doesn't, I don't know what that means.
It could be a sign of bad times if all of Trump's people go down.
Well, I also have a question about the eclipse. Now, not necessarily about the eclipse itself, but I was thinking yesterday as we were trying to put together this eclipse event, at one point there was talk of an eclipse pizza. Now, I was wondering, what is an eclipse pizza?
I'm thinking that would be pizza that was all the cheese obliterated by the big pepperoni.
Oh, it would have to be a really big piece of pepperoni.
It would. But as it turns out, I have made other plans on Eclipse Day, so I will not be in
there. Oh, okay. Okay. So you're excited for Eclipse Day?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's once in a lifetime.
Well, that's what, you know, do you really think we're going to have the big whoop-de-doo?
Well, you know, I've been looking at the pattern of totality, and Marion is not as close to the center as cities north of Marion, and so I mean Marion might see an influx, but I don't know if we'll see it as big as Findlay or Port Clinton.
Now, what if that day everybody gets up and it's overcast and raining?
Well, then you won't see the eclipse, but you can still feel its effect.
Yeah, well, I think, because I my understanding is if it's cloudy, you don't see the planets, you don't see anything like that. It really only gets a little gray and maybe a little darker than it normally would during an overcast day when it happens.
Right.
Which, is that really something to see? Is that once in a lifetime?
Well, you know, it's like buying a billion-dollar lottery ticket. You're probably not going to win, but it will be once in a lifetime if you do.
The time on this is very strange to me. All this for really 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me, and I know people will do stupid things during that 4 minutes because, again, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a lot of stupid things happening, I'm sure.
Yeah, and why do people do that? Why? Because it's once in a lifetime, 4 minutes, well, you know, I don't know. Well, I guess the good news is that our groundhog, if we did have 6 more weeks of winter, that means our groundhog is now 2 years running, 100% accuracy.
There you go.
Feels good to me.
Yeah, now we just have to start thinking about who's going to be the groundhog next year.
I know. It's hard to top. It's getting harder and harder to top at this point.
Oh, I'm sure we will. We'll think of something.
We got plenty of time. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. Hey, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Phone lines are open here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Is the eclipse going to be the thing that we all think it's going to be? I don't know. Well, I think our Eclipse Pizza went by the wayside, but we do have something planned for Eclipse Day. It took a while to put it together, but as I say, I would say by Thursday we should have a pretty good handle on what's going to happen. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. I don't know. Do you think we had 6 more weeks of winter because we have cold temperatures today and tomorrow as spring comes in? Certainly feels like spring out there this morning, doesn't it? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. That's one of the discussion topics this morning. My whole issue with the tire last week. Anybody else having issues like that? Okay, what else do we have going on here today? Well, now here's something. Local politics. Now, I don't know if we've really had a chance to discuss this here on the morning show. We talked about it a little bit last Friday with Pastor Craig and the gang, Matt. But when Ray Grogan was on this show, Marion County Prosecutor, last Thursday, I believe it was, Ray said that there had been an investigation launched into Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis misappropriating funds, and that that investigation was in his office, and that that investigation was ongoing, and that in the next 30 days, we should have some kind of answer on that. Now, that's kind of interesting, because we've been talking about local politics for I don't know how long here, and people have been saying, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on? Well, here's what's going on. Apparently, back, when did that happen? Was that January, February? I think it was back in January. And I was at that meeting. At one point, Miranda stood up, the Marion City Auditor, and I think admitted that she could allegedly that she misappropriated funds. And we were kind of all wondering what happened with that, because it really wasn't talked about much after that. Well, apparently an investigation was launched into that and turned over to the prosecutor's office. And the prosecutor has it, and he says he's not done with it at this point. But within the next 30 days, well, 30 days of last Thursday, we should know some more on what's going to happen here with this particular case. I don't know. I haven't seen that reported anywhere else. So I guess we're first in news here on this particular topic. Anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means criminal charges. I don't know if that means civil charges. I don't know if that involves more than one person. Because it's my understanding, and remember, I'm not on the inside of this, but it's my understanding that Miranda did not misappropriate the funds, that her deputy, Martin Watts, actually did the misappropriation, but Miranda okayed it. So this is where the problem was. So I don't know if Martin would get in trouble for that as well. I don't know if he would get in more trouble than Miranda would. I don't know how that works. I really don't know. But this was 2 months ago, and apparently this investigation has been going on for about 2 months now. Where does it all end? I guess we'll find out in the next 30 days. And did she misappropriate the funds? It was explained to me by, I believe, Jason Schauber, that during the meeting she admitted to misappropriating the funds. Well, I was at that meeting. Maybe that's what happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not that well-versed in local government and what the auditor does, so I can't say that it for sure happened. So I've got to say allegedly at this particular point. Now, where it goes from here, I have no idea. But I would think that this people who are interested in local politics, this is going to be something to watch. That's for sure. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I mean, people have been wondering what's going on with the auditor, what's going on locally. Well, here we are. Here's certainly a new topic. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Where does this all end in the end, in the long saga of the Marion City Auditor and City Council and what's going on there? You know, if you tried to go back and recount everything that has happened with that office in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, I think it would make you dizzy trying to understand What's happened there? I mean, we had a new auditor elected. We had an auditor resign. We had issues with credit cards. We had issues with the IRS. We had issues with penalties. We had issues with the state. We have had issues reconciling books. We lost our credit rating. We had an auditor, a second auditor resign and then take back the resignation. We had a mayor get involved in this. I mean, it has been a mess. You know, and I hate to come back to this, but it reminds me of the whole Scherzer Park thing. Because here's the thing. Does anybody know in city government what is allowed and what is not allowed? Because the Scherzer Park thing is still very odd to me that the Parks Department voted to change the name of Scherzer Park to, or our Founders Park, to Scherzer Park. So they order a big new sign, put it up there, and then I guess somebody found out that the Parks Department does not have the power to change the name of that park because it's an administrative park, and only the administration can change the name of the park. Okay, that's understandable if that's the way it goes. But then it was changed back to Founders Park, and a new sign was ordered. We spend a lot of money on signs, apparently. And now it's Founders Park again. And my question is, if it was already changed to Scherzer Park, and you paid the money to do it, what difference did it make? Why wouldn't the administration just say, hey, you know what? They changed the name. They really didn't have the power to do it. I do have the power to do it. What's the big deal? I mean, do people really care what the name of these parks are? I don't know. Maybe they do. Apparently somebody does. And I don't know what happened to the old sign, the Scherzer Park sign. But I think that's a very interesting question. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on the whole auditor situation here in town or what's going on, what went on with Scherzer Park? Or really just the whole state of city government at this particular point. Does anybody really know what is going on? It's an odd, odd situation. But, you know, it's okay. We get through. And I haven't heard anything about fines or anything of that nature for a while. I guess doesn't mean it's not happening, but we'll leave that where it is. Again, if anybody's got any thoughts on what Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan said last week, that there is an investigation going on into Miranda McGinnis, Marion City Auditor, for a possible misappropriation of funds that we'll find out something about in the next 30 days, or anything to do with the election today, the primary election today, anything to do with the eclipse that you would like to say, all those things are on the table. 740-751-4038. Also, did want to mention that we have a special guest tomorrow that will be on from 9:15 until 10 a.m. Now, I'm not going to announce who this is yet, but you'll want to tune in tomorrow between 9:15 until 10. Because it's a really good guest to have on the day after the election. And it's somebody, I think, who we want to hear from and learn some things about. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. You have to tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow between 9:15 and 10 a.m. I think it's somebody everybody wants to hear from. Certainly the day after the primary election, is a good time to hear from this person. And I think it will give some perspective on a lot of things and certainly inform a lot of people on things. And that's all I'm going to say at this point, because if I get any more in depth on this, you might have a better idea of who this is. And you know we like a good surprise here at this station. But that's tomorrow morning, Wednesday, between 9:15 and 10 a.m. Okay. Well, does anybody have anything to say about the guest we had on yesterday? You know, every so often we get a new book here at the station. And yesterday we had the book from Richard Abel on, UCLA law professor. And basically it was the last, or I guess not the last, the third in a series of books about basically Donald Trump and what has happened to this country. I think it was interesting. Did you learn anything from that interview yesterday? Certainly a lot was said. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, I know there's a lot of support for Donald Trump and Marion. I wonder if anybody even pays attention to that type of an interview. I wonder if anybody pays attention to clearly somebody who does not like Donald Trump. I don't know. You know, honestly, I did not expect that to be a political interview. I expected that to be more about the book. And now that I think back on it, I don't think it was a very political interview. I thought Richard Abel, the author, was pretty well explaining his points. I don't think there was any backlash from the interview, so that's always a positive thing. But did anybody listen to that yesterday have any thoughts on Richard Abel being on the show, discussing his thoughts on Trump and how we got to where we got? There certainly was a lot of news coming out of the weekend in regard to Donald Trump. The fact that Mike Pence, his former vice president, will not endorse him, I thought that was interesting. I think he's really the first one to say that he would not endorse him, who was a big follower of, well, vice president of Donald Trump. The comments, you know, these comments that were made in Ohio this past week, I'm not going to get off in the weeds on these comments because, I really don't have anything to say about them. But I will certainly tell you this. Other people have things to say about them, and I'm not talking about the news. I have had more people approach me who know that, you know, I do this, and want to talk about these comments this past weekend that were made in Ohio at this Bernie Moreno rally about there'll be a bloodbath if Trump does not win the election in November. You know, that really got a lot of play. I was surprised. Usually I don't hear about political things like that from just everybody. But a lot of people, I heard from a lot of people about that. I don't know if that was really something people did not want to hear. I don't know. It was odd in a way. Maybe it's because it happened in Ohio. I'm not really sure. And maybe people didn't understand what it meant. Maybe that's it. Well, I tell you what, we're going to break. We're coming back. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not. You know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous. As I wrote in the book, I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most